greetings to you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that's above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because He, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is Lord. He's above it all, and in Him we live, we move, and we have our being. And in all that's going on right now, we know the one that's in control, and we continue to follow Him. Trusting Him, trusting the plans and the ways that He does what He does, and trusting the ways that we've learned to flow with Him. Remember, ride the wave, keep your eyes on Christ, be aware but not distracted. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God will take care of everything else. He has His way of doing that. Put your cares upon Him. Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. You know, there's plenty of instructions for us that remain consistent in this time. Don't worry about the morrow, for sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. We've got plenty of instructions that are there for us that God has given us in the Word and in the Scriptures to help us in this time and to help us to understand how we're supposed to do what goes in front of us and what's necessary. And in this moment, in this very moment right now, if you stop and if you're still, you realize that God has provided you with what you need, and He's got you. So now, yeah, there may be temporal things that are on the horizon, but how do you want to tackle those? Do you want to tackle them in your own strength, in your own ability, in your own flesh, in your own understanding, with your own contacts, with your own abilities, with your own networks? Or as those things crumble, are you going to trust God and allow Him to show you new ways of doing things, creative ways of doing things, understanding new options, new ideas? You know, I think one of the things, you know, when we look and see in Scriptures, we may be coming into a time where people are going to have to start looking at miraculous ways of God doing things. I mean, Jesus paid His tax through the mouth of a fish, you know, His temple tax. Jesus, you know, He instructed His people all kinds of different things. When you go into this village, take a look, you're going to see a donkey tied, or a colt tied there. Untie it. When somebody asks you, what are you doing with that colt? Say, we're just, the master needs it, we'll send it right back. I mean, come on. You know, go into this place over here, and you're going, and the person that you meet, you ask him where you're going to be able to prepare the feast for the Passover. He's going to show you to a large upper room that's well furnished. Go make preparations there. I mean, this is a different way to live, you guys. This is a different way to go about our decisions and our choices. You know, this is not just during Jesus' walk. Elijah, during a time of of difficulty and famine, God gave him different sets of instructions and different things to do. You know, one point, go to the brook. He waited there. The ravens came and fed him. The water was there. And then, you know, I firmly believe that he would have just stayed there and would have chosen to die rather than move without hearing from God. But when said the brook dried up, the ravens stopped coming, and then he heard a word from the Lord. Said, go to this next place. You know, goes to the next place, and God's made provision in a different way. You know, through somebody else that was basically on their last meal. And God provided the miraculous and the response to the miraculous. So in each one of these things, you know, there's lessons to be learned, there's understanding to be had, there's a way that God moves creatively in the individual's life, in the individual's circumstance, consistent with His character and His promises for those that have trusted Him. And you're going to need that trust going forward. All of us are. You know, I'm speaking to myself too, as the Spirit of God gives this word. You're going to need that trust because, you know, the world is going to work to lock everybody into their system. But God will say, if you trust me and if you obey me and if you follow me, you will see my hand at work in your life. Yeah, and we're going to have to. We're going to have to do that. Because that is the path of freedom, that is the path of purpose, that is the path of blessing, that is God's path and God's plan and God's intention for His children. And you know, I greet you during this time of, it's a time of remembrance too, for the work that Christ Jesus did for us on the cross. You know, he that knew no sin became sin for us. He took sin, nailed it to the cross. He took the shame of it. He took all of the punishment for it, and it died there. And in Christ Jesus, when you receive that life eternal that comes from him, that old man is crucified with him as well. And the life that you now live is hid in Christ Jesus. It is that resurrection life. And we are in the middle of that remembrance of the finished work of Christ. The finished work of Christ. The finished work of Christ. So we need to remember that. We need to go forward in that. You know, how many times have people tried to keep bringing us under bondage, to keep telling us that something is not done? It's done. Look, everything's done. The war's already won in Christ. Now we're walking it out. We're walking out the completion of it, but the war is done. And when you move in that truth and that reality, things change. You know, the world works very hard to keep you away from the reality of the truth. But once you know that truth and it's solidified in your soul, you move forward in it. What are they going to do? Because all authority on heaven and on earth was given unto Christ Jesus, and in him you live and move and have your being. So you walk in that authority as you walk through this life. And you move in that, and all of a sudden, that which sought to be above you is now beneath you. Say that one again. That which sought to be above you is now beneath you. Do you realize you're seated in heavenly places? You know, it's the earth is the Lord's footstool. So everything that's here is under his feet. If you're seated in heavenly places, then all that's in this world and part of this world is beneath you. You're above it. And yet the world wants to lord it over you. The world works very hard to try to lord it over you. You got to know who you are. Because when you know who you are and you walk in that, things change. Your paradigm changes. The way that you relate to things change. You know, here's one. just hypothetical. Hypothetical. Just imagine something for a second. In the natural. Imagine if one day you were at home and somebody came and they knocked on your door and you go to the door and there's several serious looking people, but you know, very pleasant, and they say, "Dear Mr. So and so," or "Dear Mrs. So and so, you know, we've been on a search for several years after discovering some documents in this European country, and we've traced roots and ancestries, and we found out that you are a direct descendant of King So and So, Queen So and So, and you are of royal blood, and you are actually an heir to the throne of this country in Europe. Just imagine that just for a second. What would you do? How would you feel in that moment when you found out all of a sudden that you are actually an heir to a throne, an heir to a fortune, an heir to things that you never knew, but that was the reality. How does that feel? It feels pretty good, doesn't it? It's all of a sudden your thoughts of life, your prospects of life change, your priorities of life change. That $200 that you were struggling to put together doesn't seem like that big of a deal now, does it? That you know, whatever it is, whatever problem, all of a sudden it just changed, just like that in a moment. Now, if you have people like that show up to your door, maybe you don't want to let them in the house because you may not know where they're coming from. But you get the idea. Well, in the realm of the spirit, it's so much better than that. And in the realm of the spirit, it's not a fictitious question. It is a reality of who you are when you are, when you're consummated with the King of Kings through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the resurrection work that he's done. You are a child of the living God. You are a co-heir in Christ Jesus. You have everything waiting for you, and it's there, and it's accessible for you in Christ. That's who you are right now. You're a royal priesthood. You're a prince, you're a princess of the living God. It's amazing, and this is also why the world wants to keep you away from this reality. Because if you never knew who you were, you never operated in that reality. You never moved in that reality. And squatters and caretakers would be in position over that kingdom that you are a rightful heir to. That's what they've done in this world. The worlders have assumed positions, but this is not their world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It belongs to the Father. Now, yes, the enemy did set up a satanic kingdom. Jesus experienced some of that in Luke 4 when Lucifer showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor and offered them to Jesus. Very tempting. Legitimate offer, but for a limited time. All you got to do is bow down and worship me. All you got to do is give your allegiance here. All you've got to do is exercise your free will and to become part and parcel of this system. Ha. Yeah. They keep trying to do that again and again. But what God would have for you is to follow him and to go the long way. We've been going the long way. If you've been tracking with Christ Jesus, you've been taking the extended journey. And in that extended journey, without the shortcuts that the world offers, God has taught you and grown you and stretched you and brought you in and through so much. And in the process of all of that, it's been hard, it's been a struggle, but you know the one in whom you have believed, and you are persuaded that he is able to keep you and that he's able to accomplish the thing that he desired and the thing that he started in you. So I want to encourage you guys this day to remember who you are. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember the promises of the Word of God. Remember this as we go into this weekend and coming up Resurrection Sunday. Remember who you are, not who you were. Remember who you are in the restoration of who you are in Christ, not what the enemy would try to tell you and not the lies of the devil. Who you are is that resurrection life in Christ. Who you are is what happened on Sunday, early in the morning, when the stone of the tomb was rolled away and the angel sat on it, and the soldiers that were there shook and became like dead men. And Jesus Christ, you know, he's not there anymore. Tomb is empty. That's who you are. That's who you are. You've walked out of death. God has taken you from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, from death to life. So walk in that life. Walk in that newness of life. And share that reality and that truth with others. Because God will use you to share that truth and that reality with others that need to know and need to hear that message. The last message that we put up, we reposted that 2-minute gospel. You know, and if you guys haven't heard it, listen to it. Take you 2 minutes. 2 minutes and 8 seconds, actually, with the intro and the extra. But 2 minutes. And share it with people. This is a great time to share with people. And go go to faithmix.com. You can download it there too and send people just the file if they don't. If you don't want to send them a web link and you want them to keep it on their phone, their computer, listen to these things. Let the word get in you. People need to hear that gospel. It's good news. They need to hear that message. It's good news. And there's a way out of this entire bondage, this entire trap of the devil. There's a way out. And you need to share that message with people. You need to share this truth with people. People need to hear this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. People need to hear. And it needs to resonate within their spirits and within their souls. Shall we discuss what's going on world affairs-wise? there are things that are going on right now. And, we need to be aware and not distracted, but in being aware, we see very clearly the agendas. We see very clearly the suppression of truth, the suppression of solutions, the suppression of low-cost, readily available solutions right now that can take care of these problems that the world is facing. And because that's not what they want. They don't want a solution. They don't want people healthy. They don't want something that costs $12 and everything's sorted for a person. That's not what they want. What they want is to drag this continued thing on because they've got a problem and they've got an issue. Their agenda is to shut things down. So we're seeing that. And you can just see it in the disinformation. In the disinformation, it's intellectually dishonest. For me, one of the best indicators that, for example, with this COVID-19, one of the best indicators for me that there was something to this hydroxychloroquine, and subsequently, as the protocol has been developed out, azithromycin and zinc, that there was definitely something to this hydroxychloroquine. You know, one of the best indicators for me of that was the article run in the Associated Press with the headline saying, man dies from taking chloroquine, and following the what Trump had said about it. And I was like, I got to read this article and see what this is about. And when you go through the article, the guy had taken a derivative of an aquarium cleaning product and had consumed that, and he poisoned himself, and his wife had gotten very sick doing the same thing. Now, and then that was what they were using to run this headline, completely deceptive, completely misleading, for a drug that's been on the market for since the 1940s, widely used, generic alternatives available, extremely cheap. And I was like, okay, there must definitely be something to this. If this is the kind of thing that's considered news, journalism, why is that the story? Because the story should be doctors around the world have tremendous success for a very cheap price in treating people that are symptomatic. People that aren't symptomatic don't even need it. But the people that are symptomatic with COVID-19, they've been, and in their treatments, they have a near 100% success rate in treating their patients to full recovery. Wouldn't that be an amazing headline? In a time where you have journalists that actually would cover the news, would actually cover the story, would actually not be your enemy, not be trying to get you to look in a different direction, to get you to sit at home on your couch and not do anything and sit around and wait for some untested, rushed, dangerous toxin to be injected into your body and pass the blood barrier directly into your bloodstream, so that you can now leave your house after you've been stuck there for months and your business is gone, your job is gone, and you've just been sitting there as a vegetable doing what it is that you're told to do. I mean, come on. If there's a cure out there right now, why is that not the front page story? And it seems the more and more that people actually run with the research and do the research and do the clinical studies, which are there, and they keep saying, oh, they keep trying to diffuse it. It's humorous because you've got something that's been on the market for so long, and all of a sudden now that it's a cure that actually works. Maybe I shouldn't use that word cure, but it's a treatment that seems to have 100% success rate. Okay, let me just rephrase that there. Or 99.99% success rate, according to one doctor, that because he said somebody got off the protocol and didn't follow it. Okay, here's a solution, and I think I might have mentioned this once before, but you can let everybody out of their houses in 48 hours, and you focus all of your attention as a government to securing the treatment protocols and the logistical chain for hydroxychloroquine, erythromycin, and zinc as a treatment protocol for people that are symptomatic, and you get that into your hospitals, you get that into into the hands of your medical professionals so that they can treat the people that come in with complications. And you use your logistics chains, you've got your FedEx, your DHL, your U.S. Postal Service to move things around the country, wherever the stockpiles need to be in order to treat the rates of infections that are there. That's kind of how things would work if this was actually functional. And the economy would not miss a day. Economies would not miss a day. People would not miss a moment with their families. That's how things would work if they were functional. You could treat every person that's symptomatic without it being a burden. You're talking about a solution for a developed country for tens of millions of dollars. Not even that. If it's $12 a person, plus shipping. Okay? $12 a person plus $5.99 shipping and handling, okay? $20? Yeah. No, it's insane. It's insane what the alternative is. It's insane what the world is actually telling people to actually do and participate in, to their own detriment, to their own destruction, to their own hurt. So anyways, it's frustrating for me to watch, frustrating to see when, you know, these things could be addressed, dealt with, and people could carry on. But that's not what they want. And you can see that more and more clearly. Okay, if somebody out there, you don't agree with this, you don't think that plan would work, okay, tell me why. Tell me why. Put it in the comments. This goes onto a bunch of different platforms. put it in the comments of why that plan does not work. Why that plan does not release people from their houses, does not get people back to work, does not allow even any emerging market, any developing country to be able to carry on. Why that plan does not break down food supplies. And why that plan puts a minimum strain on logistics. But, no, there's other agendas. And those agendas do not include keeping people alive and healthy and healed. Just think about that. Think about the fact that people are testing and having tremendous results and things are working and it's $12. and that is not front page headline news. And then you got to ask yourself, who are these people? Oh, would to God that truth was valued, that solutions were valued, that God, oh, my prayer is that the people of God have the platforms in the future and the positions of power to be able to do the things that need to be done. Because, you know, I've thought, you know, a lot about that request that Solomon had for wisdom. But, you know, you can have wisdom, you can have knowledge, you can have an understanding heart. But if you don't have the platform or the power to be able to act on the things that you know, then what good does it do you? Or if you just don't apply, if you have the power, but you don't apply it. One of my statements to make with my friends sometimes is, knowledge without application is worthless. You could know something, but if you know and you don't put that knowledge to work, what good does it do you? What good does it do you? If you know all these amazing things about health and wellness and fitness or resource management or business, but if you don't ever actually do it, it's in the application. In the application that things happen. It's in the application that, so you need to apply what you know. God teaches you something, you need to apply it, otherwise you don't see the benefit of it in your life. You know, I remember that person I met in India one time, and his statement was, most people want to know the will of God so that they can consider it, not so that they can actually do it. yeah. So, you know, ouch or amen, you know, that could be sometimes different times in the process of your own journey. But amen should be the response as of this day. Because the time is short. Might as well, right? So if God reveals his will, let him reveal his will so that you can do it. Go forward in that will. Go forward in the promises and the truth of the living God. And see, and then with obedience, you see the reward and the results that God wants. The success is in the obedience. But as you watch, you'll see the fruit of your obedience. And it will do something that lasts. It will do something that makes an impact. But yeah, it's tough to see some of the things that are going on right now. It's tough to see them. It's tough to to be here and to witness just a lot of suffering. And more and more and more that's on the way. And I just encourage you, my brothers and my sisters, to pray and to lift things up, and because you are the few that can actually make a difference in this time. There's a lot of people that have skills that don't do them any good right now. Your skills are not what saves you. Your relationship with the living God is what saves you. So out of that relationship, let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I just want to thank you. Thank you, Father, for my brothers and my sisters listening to this this day. Lord, we just bless each other in the name of Jesus Christ, and we put every care and every concern at your feet. We trust you, Lord God, and in your will and your way, your plan, your purpose, your provision, your protection, your direction for each and every one of us, Lord. I just pray, Father, for all the concerns that are on my brothers and my sisters' hearts and minds right now. We leave them all at your feet, and we trust you, Lord God. Lord, we ask for your lordship over every situation and every circumstance. We pray, Father, collectively, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done. Not just in the situations that we leave at your feet, but in this entire world, Lord God, we pray that you would establish the fullness of your kingdom in the paradigm that we live in here on this earth at such a time as this. We love you, Father. We trust you. We bless one another in Jesus' name. We continue to rebuke the devil and to speak against him, cast him out and far from us. And we pray, Lord, instead for the free flow of your Holy Spirit at all times in and around us. In Jesus' name we pray. We love you, Father. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. God bless you. keep on keeping on. Don't worry about anything. Trust the Father. He's going to direct your path. All right. Drop us an email. You remember, faithmix@gmail.com. And you can always put a comment to wherever you might happen to catch this podcast. Love to hear from you guys. God bless you. We'll talk to you again sometime really soon. All right. Bye.